I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Final hour of Grant and Danny on 106.7 The Fan. Dave Jagler is going to be with us in a half hour. One of the voices of Nats baseball. We'll give you a Nats spotlight at 118, but before we get back into the National League Division Series with the Dodgers in about 15 minutes, Nora Princiati, who covered DC sports here in town before headed north, now covers the Patriots in New England, and she joins us on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline. Nora, I've got to imagine Bill Belichick and the Pats are a little worried about this matchup. The Redskins, as you know, they're a very difficult opponent. They've played very well this year.
Very well coached.
And they've got a lot of problems they can present for the Patriots, no?
Hi, guys. Wow, I'm having flashbacks to, I think our Wednesday press conference with Bill, where he did a really good job there. He had total straight face, well coached, well prepared, not reflective of the record, going to be a big, tough matchup. You know, Vegas lines be darned. I'm looking forward to it.
So this Patriots team is really good. I look at last week as kind of the Bills may have found something that a better team could have exploited if the Bills had a decent offense. But defensively, what did the Bills do, Nora, that actually slowed this Patriots high-octane attack down?
Well, so part of it, and the Bills have a great defense. They don't tend to change a lot about what they do, but they can still get pressure just because they have great personnel with four or five, and they've got the coverage players to hold up on the back. They've done this to the Patriots, I think, probably. Going back the last three games, the offense just hasn't looked great against the Bills. So I was sort of expecting that to a degree, but the other thing, and I don't want to take credit away from the Bills, the Patriots offense is pretty banged up right now. They have their starting left tackle, Isaiah Wynn, on IR, James Devlin, the fullback, who's really important to the running game, had just gone on IR. But even with the guys who were on the field, one thing that's important to know is that Julian Edelman, Rex Burkhead, and Josh Gordon were all playing through some pretty significant stuff. So I don't want to sound like I'm making tons and tons of excuses. I think the biggest concern for the Patriots offense is that they haven't been able to get their run game going, which makes it harder for them to just be balanced and be able to make life tough on defenses by being multiple and by getting some mismatches. But I will say that one thing to keep in mind is that even the guys that they had on the field against the Bills, a lot of the important pieces were hurting out there.
Patriots reporter for the Boston Globe, Nora Princiati on Grant and Danny here on The Fan. Other side of the ball, New England has the best defense in the league. Now, they've lost their defensive coordinator two straight years to be a head coach, and they just seem to keep getting better on that side of the ball, which all comes back to Belichick. How and why are they so good?
Probably if you have to nail it down to one factor, it's their ability to disguise what they're doing. I mean, I don't know. I'm sure you guys want to know just as badly as I do who's going to play quarterback for the Redskins on Sunday. But say it were Dwayne Haskins or, you know, any inexperienced quarterback, I can't imagine what it would be like going up against this defense, because what you look at pre-snap basically tells you nothing. Their trio of safeties in Daron Harmon, Devin McCourty, Patrick Chung, those guys are more likely to end up somewhere else than what the quarterback sees when he's trying to initially read the defense. And then you get into the linebacker group and guys like Kyle Van Noy, Juwan Bentley, Jamie Collins, Dante Hightower, who they're equally likely to drop into coverage as they are to rush the passer. And so any quarterback that is facing them just is going to have such a tough time of reading out the defense, post-snap, some of their coverage sacks that they've gotten, their coverage sacks in the sense that the secondary is doing a great job of staying on guys and covering them up, but it's also that the quarterback, particularly the inexperienced guys that they've played the last couple of weeks, they're still processing mentally, and so it's giving the pass rush, which isn't full of, like, elite-level guys. Like, the biggest name up front is probably Michael Bennett at this point, and the dirty secret is that he's barely playing. But they're getting time to get home, one, because the secondary is really talented, but two, we're seeing these quarterbacks hold on to the ball and not know where to go with it because they're just not sure what they're looking at.
Our buddy Nora Princiati is with this fellow alumnus of the George Washington University, emphasis on the, breaking down the Patriots. Nora, this is a pretty simple road for the Patriots to just sort of cakewalk their way to 12, 13 wins and kind of get healthy. I mean, I'm looking at the Redskins, the Giants, the Jets, the Bengals later on this year, the Dolphins one more time at least. Are they treating this with sort of a bigger end game in mind, almost not really wanting to show everything as they just try to stay healthy? If they're healthy, they're in the AFC title game again, it feels like.
Yeah, well, so I think that Bill Belichick has been around for long enough and has the philosophy that it's hard to prevent injuries. You can't play, really. There's sort of no way to play to avoid that on a large scale. They've done it with certain guys in the past, like Gronk, I think you've seen in past years. Sometimes in the first half of the season, you would see a tendency to avoid, you know, sending him over the middle all the time for those huge hits. But those are kind of the exceptions that prove the rule. I don't think that they play to avoid injuries in any sort of specific or intentional way other than just not being reckless. But I do think that every year this is a team that takes at least the first month, 6 weeks, you know, maybe up to the trade deadline to figure out what it does well and think about what adjustments need to be made going forward. And it really is a work in progress. So I don't think that that's really different this year. But, I mean, even using last year as an example, they struggled early offensively and then later in the season embraced that, you know, sort of power running style that powered them to a Super Bowl. And that wasn't there this time last year. We couldn't have seen that was the way that they were going to go and win a championship. It ended up being that way. Now, I don't know that they can do that again because they have been hit so many times on the offensive line, but I do think that we'll see some other iteration of the coaching staff looking at the personnel, looking at what works, looking at what doesn't work, and reinventing themselves down the line as late as, I mean, they can do it in December. They're totally comfortable doing with that. They did it last year. I think they would do it again.
Tom Brady's 42. He's got 7 touchdowns and a pick. He seems to never age. We know he's going to be tough to reckon with. I mean, who's their offense going through right now? You mentioned they're having a hard time running the ball. Is it a lot of Edelman? What do the Redskins need to prepare for?
Well, I think the reason that you saw them struggling last week is that their offense is going through Phil Dorsett and James White, both of whom are good players. James White in particular is incredibly important to this offense. But they do not want Philip Dorsett being their number one receiver. They would like, I think, to be running, you know, more of a downfield passing offense than they were towards the end of last year. I think that's something that kind of shifted over the summer because, you know, it's flown under the radar, but they signed guys in the offseason who ended up retiring. Their starting center has blood clots in his lungs and is out for the year. So there's been a real domino effect on the offensive line that I know is a situation that you guys down there can relate to that I think has really changed their sort of initial idea of what they're best suited to do. The problem is they've taken a lot of swings at receivers and we're still waiting to see how many of those are going to pan out. I am of the opinion, some people around here are not, that they do not need an Antonio Brown, that barring, you know, a ton of injuries, barring Julian Edelman and Josh Gordon both being hurt for extended periods of time. They were both dealing with stuff last week, but not things that are expected to limit them for a long time going forward. I think that's good enough with Tom Brady.
No,
that's still an open question, but that's how I feel about it.
I got to ask you, though, you mentioned Antonio Brown. What was that like, just anecdotally, being up there for whatever that was, like the 10 days of Antonio Brown in New England? If any organization could both deal with having him on the roster and then off the roster, that way it's New England. But what was that like?
Okay, so first of all, I never laid eyes on him. Like, I did not see him in person once, which is really funny. It was the worst. I was nervous all the time, and I had to re-download Snapchat, which I never want to do ever again in my entire life. So, great football player, obviously going through some troubles right now. I did not think it was worth it when they did it. I'm glad they eventually cut ties. I think it made sense. Again, I think that barring, you know, not catastrophic injuries to the rest of their receivers, but some really bad luck in terms of the rest of their receiver health, I don't think that not having Antonio Brown is going to sink them. I think that if you're a team that goes into the season feeling like you can compete for a Super Bowl, and then you end up adding Antonio Brown and everybody's talking about, you know, how this is gravy and all that, I think if that flips on its head and doesn't work out, if all of a sudden you're sunk, that doesn't make a lot of sense to me. They were planning to contend for a championship before this year, and Antonio Brown was not in their plans, and I think that they should be fine without him. My main concern being more that with an injured O-line, missing their starting fullback, not having great tight ends right now, they're just missing that versatility and that ability for defenses to not really know what they're going to do with the ball. And, you know, this coaching staff is so good at creating those mismatches when they have the personnel to do it with, that I think not having the personnel hampers some of the advantage that they generally have in terms of preparation, game planning, scouting, and all that. So I think they're a little hamstrung in that way. I know this started as a question about Antonio Brown, but obviously this is on my chest and I want to talk about it. So that's my spiel.
I like it. Nora, thank you so much. We appreciate the time. It's great having you back on the show and look forward to seeing the Pats in town this weekend.
Thanks, Nora.
Absolutely. Looking forward to getting down there.
Nora Princiotti, the Boston Globe on Grant and Danny. Next, your Nationals spotlight. We'll go player by player and break down how they've got to respond, what they've got to do different tonight. Dave Jagler at 1:30 as we paint the show red on the Fan.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
He's Danny, I'm Grant. This is The Fan. The Nats and the Dodgers tonight at 9:35, the first pitch of Game 2 of the NLDS. I want to give you a little Nats spotlight right now. We'll go round the horn back and forth with Nats players who are going to have to step up if they're going to win game two.
Start pretty simple here. Anthony Rendon has been cold. I mean, he's put together some good at-bats, obviously. That huge walk against Josh Hader set the stage for what Juan Soto was able to do. But Rendon came into the postseason. I think it was a 15-game homerless streak and dropped his batting average down several points. His, you know, just not hitting the way that he has all season. Just terrible timing for this to happen. But he's going to have to go, especially against a ridiculously good lefty tonight like Clayton Kershaw.
I like it. I could see it. I could feel it. Strasburg, how could you not start with the starting pitcher, right? I mean, how could you not do it?
Absolutely.
How could you not go there? Can I go with Howie Kendrick not having any more errors defensively the rest of the series?
I'll permit that.
Can I please say that Howie Kendrick, who committed an error at first base this year, committing two unacceptable and excusable, don't like it. But unlike everyone else who's got suddenly going to pretend like he shouldn't have been in the lineup, I'm not going to play that game. Should have been at first, and tonight he'll be in the lineup again for me. If he's at first, fine. I'd probably move him to second and put Zimmerman at first base because he's good against Clayton Kershaw. But you need to get something out of the big bat, who is the third best offensive player on this team this year behind Anthony Rendon and Juan Soto.
Let's go with Trey Turner. Obviously, the big swing against Woodruff in the play-in game, the wild card game, whatever. When he's on at the top of the order, everything changes. You saw him finally with that ringing double late in the game last night, but he's got to get something going early on. Just changes things. It's a different game when he's on for the Nationals, right? There's so much pressure with each mounting out, with each at bat where somebody doesn't reach, the guys grip the sawdust tighter. He said to himself last night, it felt like they were trying too hard, which is code for, yeah, we were tight. You thought that this was over, right? Simply because, you know, of what they'd done to get here. And they were loose and they were free and they were fun and they were playing with house money. Didn't seem that way in game number one. Trey gets going, they get going.
That's Spotlight Davey Martinez. No more Tanner Rainey.
Thank you.
No more Fernando Rodney. Ideally, no Wander Suero. This is Strasburg. I hate to act like Anibal Sanchez has for some reason become some like end-all, be-all. But probably into Anibal Sanchez or Daniel Hudson or Sean Doolittle. And that's kind of the list for me. There are four pitchers, basically, that are acceptable tonight. At some point, that's not going to be the case. Everybody's rested. You got a day off tomorrow of the A guys. You get Strauss as deep as you can. And we don't know how deep that's going to be because he's coming off only just 2 days rest. But I don't want to see Tanner Rainey. I better not see Fernando Rodney. And Hunter Strickland better not pitch again in this series. He has given up home runs in three of the last five and five of the last 11 games he's pitched in, and he gave up two in his inning last night.
And a couple nears.
I am good on Hunter Strickland. He faced five batters and two hit homers and two hit the ball to the warning track.
Spotlight Kurt Suzuki in the lineup, banged up down the stretch, busted up elbow, good enough to play in the wild card game, good enough to play tonight. Not a great career history against Clayton Kershaw. He can join a list that's long and distinguished amongst people that haven't put good swings together against Kershaw, but he's a guy that you'd like up there in key situations. He's going to put bat on ball. It's going to be in play. He's up there to pull the ball and chew some gum, and he's all out of gum. He's also going to catch Steven Strasburg well, be a good receiver. I thought Yan Gomes, frankly, had a terrible game last night. Not only the striking out three times on 10 pitches, but took a fastball that was a strike and knocked it back to the screen like he was using a frying pan that was spring-loaded. I'm good on that. Thank you very much. Kurt Suzuki, please.
Chris in Hyattsville has one, wants to weigh in. What's up, buddy? How are you?
I'm good. I was going to go on a long rant about the thing I tweeted you about the cross-country flights, and I think that did contribute to their poor play last night. But Cabrera has been up a couple times in the wild card game and in this game in big spots and come up empty. Now, he's a veteran. I understand why he's starting. He provides good defense, and he provides good at-bats. But we need more than just good at-bats. We need somebody to come through in the clutch.
Thanks for the call.
Appreciate it, buddy.
I get it. I'm on board with you. How about Adam Eaton? We've talked about maybe even moving him down in the order today. I mean, I haven't, but callers certainly want to do that. And if you do and you move up Kendrick, okay. I'm never going to argue with having your best hitters at the top of your lineup. But he's a pitch seer. He is a guy who works counts. Left on left is not going to be fun for him today against Clayton Kershaw. But he's a lefty who can hit left-handers. Adam Eaton, for the same reason that you mentioned Trey Turner's got to get on base. You know, people, I think, sleep on this a little bit. In the playoffs, one guy on is a rally. As soon as you get a runner on first, it feels big, doesn't it?
It does.
You get a walk, And you feel like, okay, this could be the inning. All of a sudden, one swing, and it's a two-run home run, and two runs feels like 10 in the playoffs. So this is about on base, and he's an OBP guy. Get aboard, and when you're there, you got caught stealing three times. I think he's 15 out of 18 this year. He can run a little bit. Kershaw's got to pay extra attention. All of a sudden, you leave a pitch up maybe, and someone can hammer it into a gap, and he's running and he's scoring. Adam Eaton, Trey Turner, you said, and you're right, the top of the order bats, spotlight on Eaton.
Looking at Kershaw, I mean, obviously you'd expect, I think one of the most famous home runs he gave up was to Matt Adams, actually, in the division series years ago on a slider. And before that, he hadn't given up
one
to a lefty.
When Adams was on the Cardinals.
Yeah, hadn't given up a homer to a lefty in like a millennia plus one. He's tough on left-hand. It's not anecdotal either. I mean, guys hit, you know, right around 200 against him as lefty. It's a tough ask, but this is always going to be a tough ask. It was a tough ask against Walker Buehler last night. I'm with you on Eaton. I'm keeping him up at the top because if he's not there to get on base, he's there to foul off a bunch of pitches and be a tough out and just get data banks expanded for guys as to what Kershaw has tonight. But, yeah, I'm going to keep him there, but, you know, in the hopes that maybe we can knock Kershaw out and he's got a good at bat against a righty later on. Now, I'm not counting on hits necessarily, but as a pitch worker, I'm into that.
Nats Kershaw owns Adam Eaton. 1-for-9 with a triple. Suzuki, 1-for-10. Robles, Soto, Dozier combined 0-for-6. Rendon, 7-for-25 with zero extra base hits. Trey Turner, who you mentioned, 6-for-16 with a double. I would just tell everyone to be careful looking at some of the samples.
Uh-huh.
You can make a lot out of these numbers. If you're talking about somewhere between 7 and 10 at-bats, it's basically 2 or 3 games. Just remember that. It's basically over several years, one day you saw him, then a year went by and you saw him again, and it doesn't matter that much. If you got 30 or 40 at-bats against someone, you know, if they're playing, say, the Mets in this series and it's Jacob deGrom and you got 37 at-bats or something because you play the guy all the time, okay, then I'll believe the numbers a little bit more. But I think it's something maybe you just take with a little bit of a grain of salt. Let's go to Brian in Herndon on the fan. What's up, Brian?
Hey, Brian.
What's going on? Happy game day.
Thank you.
Hey, how about we don't start the game off with a leadoff walk tonight? How about we throw strikes and just fill it up with strikes all night long?
That'd be fun.
I'm into that program.
Do you want 4 walks and a walked-in run in the first inning, or you prefer not to do that?
I prefer not to do that. I think Strauss can come in and strike out the side, and let's go hit. You know?
Bit of a hot take.
Runs on the board tonight. Come on.
I love it, Brian.
Bit of a hot take, Brian.
Let's go. Is the take hot? Yes. Is it irresponsible? Sure. What he said was outrageous.
I don't want 4 walks and a high pitch count in the first inning for the Nats pitcher.
I hope you used a fake name so that people that know you don't know who you were making that call.
If you work with Brian, shame him today.
Shame that guy for that opinion. Someone just asked me, Earl said, have we tallied up points for the hits, whomever you picked, for the pick to click last night?
Ooh.
We did. Last night, Thom, because of a meaningless ninth inning double from Trey Turner.
Meant something to Thommy.
Was the only person to get any points in the pick to click. He got 2 total bases from Trey Turner. Dar took Rendon, big fat goose egg. I took Adam Eaton, big fat zero. And you took Howie Kendrick. You should actually be in the negatives as far as
concerned. Well, the way I play, I don't know what rules you guys are using, but errors count.
Oh,
so I got 2. I got 2. And I got a half on the ball he should have caught that he couldn't bend over for some reason off a Seeker's bat.
So it's Thom 2.
Yeah.
Dar 0, me 0, and Danny 0. And because of the order we went in yesterday, Tom's in the catbird seat. He gets the first pick today.
He's got first selection.
Then Dar, then me, then you. So we're going in reverse order. Tom's sitting pretty going into game 2 of this series. He is the Dodgers in human form. Dave Jagler joins us next. A little bit more on the Nats. This is the Red October presented by our friends at PVI Office Furniture. Fast, excellent, affordable. Business grows with PVI. Visit their showroom in Frederick, Maryland, or online. PVI, PVI.com today.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
At 1:45 today, we'll make our predictions for the night. The Nationals, Dodgers, game 2 of the NLDS. The Caps, game 2 of their season against the Islanders. Old friend Barry Trotz welcoming the boys to town. Ilya Samsonov in the net for the first time in his NHL career. I'm excited to see him. And then also, you've got the Washington football team.
Oh, yes.
The Redskins taking on the Patriots this week. And I would hate to be the Patriots having to deal with the Redskins on the schedule.
It's a hungry team.
And here they thought they might go 16-0. But right now on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline, our buddy Dave Jagler, the voice of Nationals baseball. Let's get some insight on how the good guys can get even in their NLDS with the Dodgers. Jags, we loved hearing that Strasburg, even on 2 days rest, went into Davey's office yesterday and said, give me the ball. He's all grown up, isn't he?
Yeah, it's huge. I mean, what he did the other night was big boy stuff coming out of the bullpen, routine altered. I mean, everyone's kind of painted the narrative of, oh, well, he's a creature of habit and, you know, can't deviate from that. Well, obviously he stepped up big time in the wild card game. And I think he realized, you know, the importance for him to pitch this game for his team. I mean, if this series is to go five games and the Nationals are to win it, they would like to, for him to pitch twice. And the only way to do that would be to start game two, and he'd be available in game five on regular rest. And, you know, who knows? You may see a starting pitcher or two come out of the bullpen tonight. You've got to do that kind of stuff in postseason, and he'll take the ball and hopefully match Kershaw here and get this series even.
Jags, the Nationals are 1-4 in game ones of the division series. Their only win, a 3-2 win against St. Louis in 2012. They've hit 170 in those games, been shut out their last two game ones. Why does that happen? I understand the other guys get paid to play too, and you're facing really good pitching usually the ace of the staff, but man, oh man, hitting 170 as a club, slugging 239, doesn't bode well to get a series off to a good start.
No, I mean, at least the last two times, though, they bounced back to win game two, and I've always felt in the best of five series, and this was before they'd ever played the best of one wild card game, the five-game series to me just goes by really fast, and especially when the Nationals have been the team with home field advantage and they've always lost that game one at home, it felt like there's so much pressure on the home team to win game two. Otherwise, you're going out on the road down 0-2, probably not even going to make it back to your own park. You know, so the Dodgers took care of business in game one, but if the Nationals walk out of here with a split, then they feel good about Scherzer going in game three. So there's a lot on them to win this game tonight. As far as the offense, I mean, I think every game is different, but what I saw last night, I think someone hijacked the real players, and there were different guys in the uniform. They swung at more pitches out of the strike zone last night than I can remember in some time. And to me, that was the theme of the game. Their pitchers couldn't find the strike zone, and the hitters couldn't stay in the strike zone. I mean, the at-bat that I circled was the Cabrera at-bat in the fourth inning. You know, Buehler is finally, having some issues. He walks three in the inning. They get a visit from the pitching coach, and Cabrera swings at a first pitch curveball in the dirt. And at that point, the at-bat was over. I mean, it was he had Gomes swinging at pitches in his eyes. You know, up and down the lineup, they were chasing pitches they don't normally chase. And that's got to change against Kershaw. I mean, he has a little bit of Corbin in him with a lot of sliders, back foot, out of the strike zone. If you go out of the strike zone on Kershaw, you're going to be just in the same boat that you were last night.
Dave Jagler, listen to him tonight, 9:35 first pitch. Charlie Slows and Jags on the call as always right here on 106.7. The Fan will have every pitch and every homer all postseason long. Ryan Zimmerman's got really good career numbers off Clayton Kershaw. You got a lefty on the hill. I'll probably play Zim tonight at first. I'll move Howie Kendrick to second. And as Drubal Cabrera, you just mentioned that at bat, not because of last night, but just because he's the odd man out, gets the night off. What's your take on that?
Well, I think I would be on board with that. And you know, I talked to Davey last night, and he kind of hinted maybe Zim tonight because the career numbers are pretty good for Zim against Kershaw. The one concern I have about Kendrick is, you know, his issues defensively last night at first base. There was the ball hit by Seager in the fourth inning, mm-hmm. where Kendrick was holding the runner. He had to dive. He banged his knee pretty hard on that one, and I was kind of watching him throughout the rest of that inning. You know, he was really, you know, kind of grabbing at that knee, rubbing at it, whatever. If he's limited with his mobility tonight, that might throw, you know, what you're talking about in flux there. But I would agree with you. To me, the preferred lineup would be Kendrick at second, Zim at first, Suzuki behind the plate, and see what you can do. But again, the health of Kendrick to me is something they'll check on before they make that move.
Dave Jagler with us here on the call this evening. Late first pitch. It's the final game of the day. Grant and Danny here. We'll have your pregame leading right up to Nationals on deck. Jags, help us understand the seventh inning last night. The decisions Davey Martinez made to me were, if they were already losing 6-0, I would have understood Fernando Rodney getting that time, Hunter Strickland then later. Why didn't Sean Doolittle pitch? What are we missing?
That's a great question. I was kind of surprised with that myself, because you have to kind of treat every postseason game. There is no, hey, I'm down two. I have ahead guys and behind guys, and I'm going to save my ahead guys for tomorrow. I mean, I know it's not a best of one series, but in a best of five series, you have two off days in the middle of the series. So no one is going to pitch more than 2 days in a row at any point in the series. And I was surprised that, you know, that part of the lineup screamed for Doolittle to pitch, because you had the left-handed hitters at the top of the lineup. And once you brought in the righty, that brought Peterson off the bench, which to me makes them a better team. So I was surprised. And the one thing about Rainey, he pitched very well over the last few weeks of the season, but the inability to control the strike zone. And Peterson's a guy who draws walks. That walk led to the issue. And the key at bat in that inning, and I was kind of surprised they brought in Rodney, although it worked out, because Rainey's more of a strikeout pitcher. Of course, Rodney ends up striking out Bellinger. The key at bat in that inning was the Chris Taylor at bat. I mean, Taylor is not one of their stronger hitters. Rodney has him 0-2 and can't finish him off. So all of a sudden now you've got the bases loaded for Muncy. He falls behind in the count, leaves one in the middle of the plate. So I think that is an inning that can be questioned. Obviously, with Doolittle and Hudson not pitching last night, they've got to be available to go long, multiple innings for each one tonight if need be, if Strasburg can't go that deep into the game.
At Dave Jagler on Twitter, if you're a Nats fan, you should follow him. He always puts out good nuggets just before the game. Jags, do we know if Strasburg is going to be pitching at max capacity, or is he going to be on like an 85 pitch limit or something like that?
No, to me, if you're starting, you're going until you're no longer effective. Does that mean he goes out to 120? I wouldn't go that far, but if you're getting up there to 90 or 100 pitches, I'd still want Strasburg to be the guy to get me out of a jam rather than going to the bullpen. So to me, he pitches until he's no longer effective.
I think I read this. You might know the answer. So Corbin last night started the sixth at 98 pitches, and I dug it. I was all in on that decision.
Me too.
But I'm pretty sure I read somewhere this morning that he threw, I guess it was 107 or whatever, and that was the second highest pitch count by a Nats starter in the playoffs ever. I think Gio had more in like a 10-walk game against the Cardinals.
Only getting through 3 2/3.
I think he got two outs, and he threw 111 pitches. Is that right? Do you know that?
I didn't research that, but that seems to make sense. I mean, you look at Scherzer. I don't know, how many times has Scherzer gone over 100 pitches in his time with the Nationals in the postseason? I can't think of when he really has, because he came out early in Game 5 against the Dodgers, and that start against the Cubs, he was kind of limited with the hamstring, so he was out. I think around. So I buy that. I mean, and that with that being said, I think when you talk about it in the case of Scherzer, he comes out at max intensity, for his bullpen prior to pitch number one in postseason games. So I don't think that lends itself to getting it as deep into games as maybe you'd like. So, yeah, I don't know. And also you get, the managers in the postseason get a little bit quicker trigger. I mean, if there's trouble in the sixth or seventh inning, then someone's going to be warming up behind him. The other factor is a lot of times the Nationals have been trailing in these games and you've got a pinch hit. So I'd have to look a little deeper into that, but I buy it.
If they're down 0-2, at that point, you're kind of delaying the inevitable coming back home, probably. How will this be viewed? The wild card game, it almost seems like, I was telling Danny yesterday, it's funny. If they would have won the division and lost the division series, everyone would have been furious. But by not winning the division and winning a play-in game, this almost has a house money feel to it, and maybe it'll be viewed more positively. I don't know.
Well, I don't want to write the obituary on this team yet. All I know is, when you're sitting there at 19-31, I think had they lost the wild card game, you just said, man, it was pretty cool just to get there. But, I mean, what the team accomplished in winning the wild card game was a special moment. And, you're running up against a juggernaut here. I mean, let's be honest.
Yeah.
I mean, the Nationals are the underdog in this series.
Yeah.
So I think you can buy the fact that they are playing with house money. But you'd like to see them, show up and have a competitive series here. Unfortunately, game one was not that competitive, but they've got tonight to try to get it right.
Jags, Anthony Rendon, obviously you don't make any changes, no replacements, but it's just unfortunate timing. Month of September/October, hitting .239, still taking his walks and not striking out a ton, but just doesn't seem quite right at the plate. Much was made of that illness where he wasn't talking kind of the day before. What are you seeing out of him?
Yeah, you're right. I mean, he's not getting the barrel to the ball. I mean, he can pretty much barrel anything when he's Anthony Rendon. And, I mean, right now, how many guys are you saying are swinging well in that lineup over the last couple of games? I mean, fortunately, they had the big rally in the eighth inning. So for this team to do well, they need, you know, they need Turner and Eaton to jumpstart the offense. Turner, get on. Eaton, get on. Eaton's looking for his first hit of the postseason. You get those two guys on, things will happen and things will click for this offense. And I know this team has the ability to come from behind, but when this team has done well on the road, they generally jump on teams in the first and second inning, put up a crooked number, and let their starter go to work. So that'd be a nice recipe tonight.
Jags, thanks a ton, buddy. Great having you on. We're looking forward to listening to pregame starting a little bit after 9 tonight.
All right, we'll be there.
Thank
Dave
you,
Jagler
friend.
Will be live from Dodgers Stadium at Chavez Ravine in Los Angeles this evening. Grant and Danny, remember, our second show tonight starts at 8.
8.
We've got a one-hour pregame for you, taking you up to Charlie and Dave. There is some breaking news to get to in just a moment on the Redskins. That was your Nats convo and your Race for Red October brought to you by PVI Office Furniture. Fast, excellent, affordable. Business grows with PVI. Visit their showroom in Frederick, Maryland, or online at PVIPVI.com today. Let's get to that Skins news, though.
Many questions surrounding who would start at quarterback for the Redskins after what happened last week, and now they face the Super Bowl champion New England Patriots. Jay Gruden at the podium just moments ago announcing that Colt McCoy will be the starting quarterback for the Redskins on Sunday against the Patriots. The backup, he says, will depend on Case Keenum's health. Keenum is still listed as questionable. This report from 106.7 The Fan's Craig Hoffman. We'll have more details coming up in sports. Colt McCoy will start against the Patriots. On Byron Kerr Sports Radio, 106.7 The Fan.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
All right, time for our final segment of the week on this Football Friday, presented by the Sportsbook at Hollywood Casino Charlestown. Every game, every bet for real sports fans. It means we get to call our shots. We got the Nats, Dodgers, we got the Redskins and the Patriots. We got to do our pick-to-click. We'll be busy. A lot to get into here. First, the breaking news from Jay Gruden that Colt McCoy is going to start against the Patriots. I think this was the worst-kept secret in football. I think everybody who follows the Redskins with any regularity has known since 2 minutes after the Giants game that Colt McCoy would start.
Can I Colt believe, walk into the facility? The answer is yes. See you out there, buddy.
I believe Case Keenum's going to back him up. And I think Dwayne Haskins is going to be the third quarterback.
Do you think Keenum's healthy enough to do it? I mean, there was still a boot.
That's
this
the question.
Week,
yeah,
right?
But it wasn't today. He was on the practice field the last couple of days, and apparently today was able to go out and do things. And he and McCoy were getting reps that Haskins at times was not. So I think they're preparing to have Haskins the third quarterback. Now remember, playing Dwayne Haskins is unacceptable and unfair. I'm sure making him the third quarterback will be deemed unacceptable and unfair, and Jay will get crushed for that. So
people,
I guess the plan, just to keep up with everybody, is you make him the number two, but if he's the number two, he's not allowed to go into the game if he doesn't get first-team reps, which he won't. Because he was the number two last week, which is what everyone wants, but then he had to go into the game because Keenum wasn't healthy and wasn't playing well, and Jay was up to no good and tomfoolery and trying to set him up to fail to make Dan look bad.
Yeah, so I don't buy all that.
Just trying to keep score of all that.
It's very hard. What it should be is set him up for success, which would not be throwing him in this week when someone else got all the first-team reps and everything
else. So
you're
cool with not playing him.
Yeah, I believe them when I say he's not ready. So I believe that.
I don't know how you wouldn't believe them after watching him against the Giants.
Seriously. So I believed it when they were saying it in training camp and the preseason and before the season started in the first couple weeks, and I believe it now. So set him up for success. However long it takes, do that.
Is this not the most Colt McCoy thing ever, though?
Of course it is.
For a guy who his career began with the Browns, and that was one of the worst teams, like, in the last 25 years in the NFL.
What a bad spot.
He gets drafted in the second round to Cleveland. And he's playing. You go back and look at some of the running backs and receivers on that team. He had no chance. He's running for his life against, like, a great Steelers and great Ravens defenses. And he's getting concussed and knocked all over the place. So he goes through that. He goes to San Francisco. He's a backup. Comes to Washington. Plays pretty well. Gets hurt. Eventually even wins the job in Washington. And then loses the job because of injury in 2014. Watches Cousins flourish and go on to get an $84 million contract. All the while, he keeps getting hurt and coming back. And while a lot of people probably would have just quit and given up and retired, McCoy said, no, I'll get one more crack at it. And then this offseason, he watches him trade for Keenum, who becomes the starter. Watches him draft Dwayne Haskins, who's now the heir apparent. And lo and behold, against the odds, Haskins somehow falls on his face and isn't ready. And Keenum has fallen on his face and isn't healthy.
We've seen the movie before.
And so we're back to Colt McCoy. Over and over again, this thing keeps coming back to Colt McCoy.
One game above their, punching above their weight class. One last ride. He scrambles a bunch and engineers the upset. Well, maybe not this week, but he did against the Cowboys.
But this is my point. This is where I'm getting to. All this stuff happened. So last year, Alex Smith breaks his leg, and he goes out there and he gets hurt. Right away, breaks his leg.
Right away.
So now all these things that have to happen, like 53 dots had to be connected for Colt McCoy to start a game this year. The Vegas odds would have told you there's no way that happens. Keenum's going to be the starter, and then they'll go to Haskins, and Haskins will lead the team in starts. And here he's going to get a start already, and it's barely October. And he gets the start against the New England Patriots. The 0-4 Redskins. There's no way they don't end up 0-5. They're playing the best defense in the league. They're playing the best team in the NFL, and this is the game that Colt will get to start.
He's like, never tell me the odds. I'm Colt McCoy.
Woo! So he'll start. He'll go out there. He'll do his best, and he'll look bad, and they'll look bad, and they'll get embarrassed.
The poor guy.
And then he'll be back on the bench probably for Miami when Dwayne Haskins gets his first NFL start. If this isn't the most Colt McCoy thing that you've ever seen in your life, give me your Redskins prediction. Thumbs got held to the Redskins, ready to go just in case.
Patriots 31, Redskins 13. They'll move the ball, but turn it over a bunch. A lot of sacks. Just probably devoid of offensive weapons. I don't know if McLaurin's going to play. I'd hold him out, honestly, altogether. Makeshift offensive line, a defense that can't stop anybody. This is a good way for New England to get right. I think Gordon and Dorsett both catch touchdown passes this week, and New England finally gets that running game going, despite not having James Devlin.
No Brandon Scherff. Possibly no Chase Roullier on the offensive line. Jordan Reed rolled out. Vernon Davis rolled out. So two tight ends who are among your top weapons unavailable. The Redskins lose this game, I will say, 34-10. They lose this game 34-10 to New England.
You got the cover.
I believe they get a 42-yard kick return from Steven Sims to set up a short field and a touchdown.
He can go to the house at any time, said Eric Bickle.
Except every time. He got run down from behind, by the way.
But he can take it to the house at any time.
Everyone talks like he runs a 3.7 40.
All I'm basing it on is the evidence that he can go to the house at any time.
I'd like to talk about that for 30 minutes one day. We don't have any time to do anything. But seriously, he got run down from behind on a kick return. This guy's supposed to run a 3.6 40. Anyway, they're going to lose by a million. All right, it is time for our Nats predictions.
Doesn't feel good to me. It feels like division series passed. I hope I'm wrong. I hope the Bats come out and find a way to knock Hall of Famer Clayton Kershaw around a little bit, but it feels like a game of attrition where the Dodgers will be able to get to the Nats bullpen, and we know how that goes. I got Dodgers 7, Nats 3.
Play hell to the Redskins, Tommy. Nats win 5-3 tonight.
Ooh.
Steven Strasburg, hail to the Nationals, on the hill, 6 innings, 2 runs, and the Nationals win after breaking out a 2-run home run from Anthony Rendon tonight.
Ooh, the breakout.
Proves to be the difference. It is time for Pick to Click. So without further ado, Tom leads the leaderboard 2-0. He also has the first pick in the snake order draft in game number 2. The way this works, we all pick a player. We can't pick the same player twice in the series. You get a point for every total base. So it's 2-0-0-0. Thommy over Dar, me and you. Thom, who you picking?
This has not been a good conversation I've been having in the war room. We've been arguing over who the first pick is going to be. I'm going a little off the board today. Asdrubal Cabrera is my pick.
Wow.
And
he might not even be in the lineup. Now, it's up in the air. He very well could be. But if he's not, quick ruling. What are we going to do? Is Thom going to text in his answer?
I think you get to – that's who you pick, right?
Okay. We're just going to ride with
I would like to vote for the position replacement. So if it's not Cabrera.
So you're also drafting Kendrick and Dozier? Is that fair?
Do you want Kendrick, Danny?
Nope. took him last night.
How about we do this? I think we confirm via text after the lineup comes out. But you can't change your pick if the guy's in the lineup.
So we're gonna select, and you can't take one of those guys. You're at risk they're just missing out on three.
Yeah, exactly. Right. The drawback is he'd get the fifth best guy, theoretically, or fourth best guy. All right. So Dar, you're chasing Thommy by 2. What do you got?
We got to make a home run here. I'm going to say Ryan Zimmerman.
Damn. Zimmerman was going to be my pick off Kershaw, 12 career hits. I will go with the guy that gave Thommy a two-bagger last night, Trey Turner, to get me back on the board as I try to chase down Mr. Daly. Danny, who you got?
I will go out on a limb and take their third-place hitter and MVP candidate, Anthony Rendon, for the evening.
All right, so you're going with ice-cold Anthony Rendon?
Frigid-cold Anthony Rendon.
I've got Trey Turner. Thom, by the way, we sleep on this. The first pick in the draft as Drubal Cabrera.
Hitting on his worst side against Clayton Kershaw.
That is a thing.
Dude, I love Thom.
Thom's on a heater. Grant and Danny on the fan. That'll do it on this Friday. We're with you tonight at 8 for pregame. That is First in the World. Start now.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.